Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Rodri. Is there anything that Lionel Messi is better than you at?
Stop being me. I respect your opinion. Maybe in your opinion Messi is better than me, but in my mind I'm better than him. I do it again.
Everything is on me, gon' back it up. Matter what, told you I'ma do me. Why you hating on me? It's not adding up. I do roll like a Mack truck. Country heart, I'ma cop a farm and go act up. Lot of scars, I was cold hearted, now I'm back up. Keep it real, I do this once a month. I don't rap much. I just hit the money and go stack up. Only buy a car, hard car, cards, and get tatted up. All that other bull, it don't matter much. You only climb me, I put the ladders up. No fault. I done doubled up on the workload. I think I fell in love with the bankroll. Pray up, get money, then we lay low. Then we lay low. Add it up, bankroll, euro, peso, add it up. I'm just doing me, everything is on me. Oh, you matter what? Add it up,
Yes, guys, I'm Sky. Welcome to Ace Podcast Nation. Welcome to Rodri Giggs on Football. We are here to talk all things football as we blitz through the Champions League, the Premier League, the Championship, whatever we feel like talking. We might even talk a bit of historic stuff as well. We like a bit of variety in the conversation. Luckily for Rodri, Will hasn't sent me the Super Six update, so all I can tell you is that I won again. That's all that matters.
No. No.
So what happened?
You got a beating last night.
Yeah, but the weekend's the one that matters, isn't it?
Not really, because you're as good as your last game, aren't you?
I won the whole thing on the weekend from the league. I was the biggest and the best, as it were.
But you can win goal of the month, manager of the month, player of the month, and still be shit.
Anyway, here's a comment for you. By the way, this is Rodri Giggs, as you know. I want you to react to this comment. First comment of the show. It I am James says, honest take, United are fucking shite.
There you go.
But here's another one. This is the one I want you to respond to. It's not a question necessarily, but it's an interesting take. It says, been a shambles since under Fergie left, except for under Mourinho. Do you agree with that?
No. Yes, at the results, but it was drab football.
Rough. But I do think when you get Mourinho in, and we said this at the time.
If you get him, you got to back him, haven't you?
Yeah, and they didn't. When he got to second, and he said... Yeah. And he said that was his biggest ever achievement. And everyone laughed at him. But you look back at him now and you look at like the players he did it with. That's when they should have backed him. They should have backed him then so that he could have kept
on. The most enjoyable bit was probably the enjoyable football was probably Ollie. And he finished second.
Yeah. It went bad, though, didn't it, under him very quick.
Like, did end up badly, but that was probably lack of experience, that. But, yeah, didn't end great. But that was probably the most enjoyable football.
I mean, like I've said this season already, right? I feel a little bit sorry for Ten Hag because, like, he's got so many of the players who improved United last year are either out or had been carrying an injury and then they were out, but they've been out for the majority of the season. They've been without Casemiro. They've been without Lisandro Martinez. They have got one striker who's a young kid who's still finding his feet. You know, Mason Mount's come in inside. So they're playing with the players who have failed time and time again. And then suddenly, what, the United fans or the media, whatever you want to say, they expect something different. I don't know what you expect if you're playing with the same players who failed time and time again. Of course, there's issues. I think, like, they never looked like scoring on Tuesday, really, against Bayern. Like, Bayern never got out of second gear, really. And I think that's probably a bit disappointing when you're at home and Bayern are kind of going through the motions and you know you've got to win a game. Like, to not really ever get any sort of momentum at any point in the game, I thought was a bit disappointing. But you can only play with what you've got, mate. And they are missing some important players. They lost Shaw and Maguire in that game as well, which is a blow. And they got Liverpool next, mate. And Ten Hag is, there's no doubt Ten Hag is under pressure.
He's under pressure. And a few games, especially with the new owners coming in, talk of a new manager.
What a mistake that would be.
I know, yeah. So I don't see that happening, to be honest, right
if
now.
They get stuffed by Liverpool, mate, like they did last year.
But you're just throwing what you've said out the window then.
No, I think they should keep him no matter what.
I understand that, but then all these smart people who are billionaire or who's a billionaire will be making a mistake. An expensive one.
They've made the same mistake time and time again, haven't they?
I think you'd let them see it out to the end of the season first before you make a
I think you give him to the end of the season and see what he can do when he gets all his he hasn't been able to pick his full, you know, a full strength side yet. All season.
Mistake is, and you could ruin him. You've got a centre forward there that's really good, but he's young and experienced, and he's under pressure. He's got to come in and score a goal straight away, and it's not happened for him. So now he's really under pressure. But really, in an ideal world, you'd have an experienced centre forward in front of him, so someone he can learn from. But they haven't got that, so they've gone for youth and for. What's the word?
Like for the future. They tried to build for the future probably in some ways a cheaper option. Obviously, he was cheaper than Harry Kane, for instance.
Yeah. So
that's the Glazer
comment. You're saying you can add value, but at the minute, this is not adding value.
Well, we had this discussion the other week, didn't we? I think we did it about performance, but. If you look at since Fergie left, have any of the signings that they brought in been sold on for more money? Because they certainly didn't improve as players. You could argue that Bruno Fernandes has maintained from a stats point of view, like his stats have been insane. He's been up there with the sort of best attacking midfielders in Europe, but he's got holes in his game and consistency and whatnot. But like, and you know, United got to play without him on against Liverpool as well, which. Will make it even more interesting because I actually thought midfield-wise against Bayern Munich, in some ways, they looked better with Bruno deeper.
Yeah, they did look better, but that takes away the goal threat and it looks...
This is why I said, I think 2-3 weeks ago, that I would like to see Amrabat and Mainoo play together with Bruno in front of them because I think that gives you a solid base, but it also gives you a bit of creativity. But they had nothing on the bench either, did they? Like, no Rashford or Martial on the bench. That game was kind of made up for a player like Rashford. Even as bad as Rashford has been the last few months, like, I think in some of the big European games, he has turned up. And I think the game was kind of set up for his skill set. So not even having him on the bench is a problem, isn't it? I'd be interested to see if he's about for the Liverpool game.
Because they've got a decision to make about Mason Greenwood as well.
Bayern Munich being linked with him today.
Barcelona, Real Madrid.
And this is the thing, right? Is so I mentioned this the other day to someone, and I said, I think they'll bring him back because I think he's doing well enough already that they'll bring him back. I didn't think they would because they bowed to the media kind of side of it anyway. But now they will have egg on their face if they don't bring him back and he goes to a Bayern or a Barca or whoever, because then you just look stupid. Because, look, I get it. I get all the reasons why, and I understand the optics of it and blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, you're a football club. You've got a player who's a very, very good footballer who hasn't been charged with anything, and he's going to go to one of the biggest clubs in Europe because, and I say it's weird to me. Like, I get all the reasons why people say he shouldn't have the privilege of playing for Man United, but I just don't know what. I don't know. Like, I'm not saying it's the right thing to do either. Like, I don't necessarily agree that it's not a right to play for Man United, is it? But he's going to go somewhere, and he's going to come back and bite United on the arse in some way.
Definitely, yeah.
Would you bring him back in the summer?
I would.
It's interesting.
I would.
I think a lot of it will depend on the manager situation. A lot of it will depend on which players stay and go. And because he's got a lot of friends there. Like, you watch when every time he posts on social media, like after a Getafe game or puts a clip up of his goal or whatever, all the United players, and there's a lot of footballers who are backing him and kind of, you know, liking his posts or whatever. So it's a difficult decision. And I wouldn't want to be the one. I wouldn't want to be the one who has to make that decision, because I think either way, you're going to get a shitload of criticism. Either way, like, if you sell him, you get a load of criticism because he'll go somewhere. And if you don't, but then that's where you get paid the big bucks for, isn't it?
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see, won't we?
At the moment.
But it's terrible. I'm half happy that they're out and we don't have to watch them in Europa League.
Yeah.
At the minute, it's so bad. But then again, I'm waiting 7 days now for them to play if they get beat. So,
yeah. I think it's the thing, right? I think I still stand by what I've said for the last couple of weeks. If they sack Ten Hag, you're just going round and round and doing the same thing. You've got to break the cycle. But that doesn't mean that he's devoid of being criticised. And no. I think some of his decisions with the sides he's picking is causing an issue. McTominay is still causing him an issue. I don't care how many goals he scores. Would they create more if he wasn't there? Would they concede as many if he wasn't there? I don't think they would, and I think they would create more. So, all right, he's scoring goals, but it's not like he's scoring goals like a goal every game or averaging a goal every game or whatever, and United are winning. It's like two steps forward, two steps back, and he's scoring every couple of games. So does the problems he's causing to the side outweigh his contribution to the team? I don't know. But they're going to have to play all sorts of combinations against Liverpool, and Liverpool are on fire at the moment. So, although they were particularly poor in the Premier League the other day, but they were.
Last night, I'm sure they would have played a weakened side tonight. So,
yeah, look, you'd expect. I'd be very surprised if United come away with anything from that game other than a loss. It'd be interesting when we do our predictions, mate, wouldn't it? Because you don't like going against United, but you can't let me get too far ahead, can you? So.
No.
You got to go. What Yeah, you obviously you mentioned United missed the Europa League. What do you make of the Graham Potter links today?
Shocking.
Would you be happy with him?
No, no, no.
So there was an article which said
Eric Ten Hag is a better coach and a better CV than Graham Potter.
Of course he has.
So why would
what people forget?
So why right, was Macros then?
Yeah. Well, what people forget, mate, right, is 12 months ago or 18 months ago, say, right? You know, like you've got Xabi Alonso and De Zerbi. They're like the big flavors of the month now, and they're about like, you know, oh, these are the next big things. That was Ten Hag 18 months ago. He did well in his first season, overachieved with what he had in front of him, and he's got a load of injuries, ridiculous load of injuries. So it's like, well, I just don't know what you, what they think they would achieve by sacking him. I really don't. I'd like, it makes no sense to me whatsoever. They should let him finish what he's doing and get rid of the rest of the players he wants to get rid of and actually do the rebuild. Because they keep doing, each manager comes in, gets halfway through a rebuild, and then they sack him. So the rebuild never gets complete.
Yeah.
It's weird to me, but I mean, that tells you everything Reese just said. Potter's also been linked with the Stoke job. Like, that tells you, that tells you everything which is going on at the moment in United's game.
Yes, he takes that stuff with a pinch of salt.
Yeah, of course. No, I understand that. Like, Ten Hag was being linked with the Dortmund job, which I thought that was more interesting than the kind of Potter links, because if United is as shambolic as Mourinho says behind the scenes, will there be a point where Ten Hag himself just goes, do you know what? I can't be arsed with this shit. I'm going to go and manage Dortmund and be appreciated or not have to deal with live with the pressure of it. I don't know.
The soap opera of Manchester United continues. We'll just have to wait and see, won't we?
Yeah. So that just to go through the names which have been linked to replace him. Graham Potter, Julian Nagelsmann, Michael Carrick, Robert De Zerbi, Zidane. And then there was like a long shot of Xabi Alonso. Xabi Alonso will never be the Manchester United manager. I can tell you that much now. Mm. Would you have any of those managers though? If the board, the Glazers, choose to sack Ten Hag tomorrow, would any of those managers be your choice?
I don't know, man. I don't know. It's such a difficult decision. You need the right person because it's still a shambles. So
until they sort out the
to get rid of it would be a mistake.
Yeah,
a big
100%.
One.
Big time. And I think not just a mistake, I think it would also just be going through the same thing, same cycle.
Rinse and repeat. Like this fucking podcast every week when we talk about United.
Mate, you've got to talk about them, though, mate. Like, this.
No,
we're going to move on now.
It's like talk sport. It's like, mate, it's constant United.
Oh, I know.
They spend 2 minutes on Chelsea that spent £1 billion in a year.
I know. Let's talk about Chelsea.
United, but that's what you sign up for when you play for Manchester United or you support Manchester United. It is the biggest club in the country, so it gets more phone calls, it gets more traffic. Always been the case, and just people are loving it at the minute. It's like tuning.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
In to watch Floyd Mayweather, they're not tuning in to watch him because he's fucking because they like him. They're tuning in to hope he gets fucking knocked out.
Yeah,
this will be Sunday. You'll have big views. Yeah, United gonna get smashed tonight. But today, let's all watch that. So, players got themselves into it. They've got to get themselves out to it. There's still 11v11. You know, they're still good players. You just got to be nice and tight like it was on Tuesday, but yeah, it's gonna be difficult because Liverpool are looking like they're just getting into gear.
Would you take a 1-0 defeat?
No, against Liverpool. Like I said, there's 11 versus 11. I won't take any defeat.
Not the result, but the type of performance that came against Bayern, where it was just tight, but he didn't really create a lot.
Just a ball fest, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Just a boring.
But it's getting through it without being humiliated. So.
Yeah. And unfortunately, that squad has got it's got it in them when things go wrong.
That's when you're missing people like Maguire, Shaw, that look like they went missing. And Maguire's been the best player for a few months now since he's come back. He couldn't get in the side 4 months ago and he's coming back in. Now, that's the type of mentality you need. But have the rest of them got that? I don't know. And which defenders are coming? Johnny Evans and Varane. Come on.
Yeah, and there's like still links with Varane going in January. So, like, is he going to have one eye on that? And yeah, it's going to be brutal for United fans, I think, versus Liverpool. But let's talk about Chelsea, mate. Because why isn't Pochettino under any pressure? Seemingly under any pressure. Spent a fortune.
No one gives a shit about Chelsea.
12th in the league. Lost 3 of the last 4.
No one gives a shit about Chelsea and Chelsea fans. That's why.
But it's like, he should be under pressure, though, shouldn't he? I know he's early into his job, but they've spent so much money.
But what do you want him to do with all these players? And
coach them.
They're all like a work in progress. So really, if you sack him, you're just going to be doing the same thing. You've got to have a coach that's bedded in there. No, people don't know his best team yet. Plus, they haven't got a striker. Well, back in the day, where you see 2-3 strikers at these clubs, where are all these strikers? Where are they all? Back in the day, they'd be like Ian Wright, Teddy Sheringham, Alan Shearer, Andy Cole, Robbie Fowler, Les Ferdinand, Michael Owen. The list goes on and on with these top strikers. Where are they all?
Yeah, it's interesting. But you say that, though, mate. That Chelsea squad is insane, like, in terms of quality and young players as well.
Yeah, like, but young players, you need to have that blend.
They've got experience as well.
You can't beat anything, you can't win anything with kids. No, they wouldn't have won just with kids, but they had Roy Keane, Eric Cantona, Dennis Irwin, Steve Bruce, these experienced players. Embedded in with these young players. You can't just have a lot of young players. It doesn't work. Yes, they've got Silva and probably Sterling, but need more than that.
Cucurella, Sterling.
He's not really experienced, though. He's not a 62 million player. It's a 20 million pound player.
They're experienced players, aren't
they? What?
Reece James, like, is experienced.
But he's made of fucking quavers. He's injured every 2 seconds.
Who else have they got? I'm just looking at their squad now. Enzo Fernandez is young. Conor Gallagher. How old is Conor Gallagher? Experienced Premier League players, though. Like Sado?
Yeah, not experienced. You're not experienced, though. What, can Sado's experience playing at a big, massive club like Chelsea?
No, I accept that. Yeah, they have got a very, very young squad.
Big club at Chelsea. No, he had one good World Cup or one good, and then he's thrust into £100 million signing. These players need experience around them to get to ease them through and to learn the game more and let the pressure off them a little bit. Because they're not going to be 8, 9, 10 every game. They're going to have dips. Even though they're £100 million players and you wouldn't think they would, but that's the reality.
Yeah, their squad is insane. Like, Robert, you know, you've got Sanchez, then you've got, like...
But you're saying it's insane. Why is a 39-year-old playing at the back then?
Well, this is what I don't get, because you've got Axel Disasi, who's a good young centre-back. You've got, Levi Colwell, who's been playing captain, is one of the best young English centre-backs around.
Right, so they're probably playing Thiago Silva, because what I've just said, they need that experience.
They're not robots, mate. And they got, like, a lot of good young, like, you know, Enzo Fernandez, Romeo Lavia,
on paper is really, really good. Them three, Enzo Fernandez, Cancelo, and Gallagher. I like that. I like them three, but
With Romeo Lavia and others to come off the bench, it looks good, doesn't it, on paper? But
Yeah, but you've got, you, if you haven't got someone who sticks the ball in the back of the net,
do you know what I think would have been a great signing?
Goals would struggle. You could have a shit team, but have a shit top striker. Them strikers get you out of trouble because it's the hardest thing to do to score goals. That's why
Harry Kane made would have been a good signing for them. Experienced goal scorer Harry Kane would have been a good signing for Chelsea with that team.
Ivan Toney's perfect for him.
Surely they can't spend more money. Like another 80, they can't drop another 80 million.
What's the point of spending all that money if you're not going to complete it with a striker? It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, but like it just makes a farce of like financial fair play, doesn't it? Like if they go and drop an 80 million on Toney in January after all the money they've spent, that would be insanity. But
there's ways around it, mate. You say, okay, we'll have him on loan and we'll pay for a fee at the end of the season. There's ways you can do it. Lots of different ways you could do it. They could sell some couple of players. They've got fucking nothing.
Yeah, their squad is massive. Like
so many some players have got to be unhappy there by not playing. So ship them out. There's a couple of players. There's the dog. Let's go and get Ivan Toney. Cheers.
What do you think of this? Reece says, said this before. Footballers these days are athletes, not ballers. Those with ability but can't run 10 kilometres a game don't make it. So no more. So you wouldn't find the likes of Bergkamp these days because he doesn't cover enough ground. Do you agree with that? Because it's so, everything's so stat-based, isn't it?
I agree with half of it, but not the end. You know, these great footballers were just adapted. You're telling me that, you know, Dennis Bergkamp, the hardest training regimes or pre-seasons are in Italy. It's well renowned. Dennis Bergkamp was in Italy for years. Yeah. Grew up at Ajax. These are top players. Of course, they could be able to adapt. You're telling me that Dennis Bergkamp can play a 9-10 role as a striker for any of these top teams? He can get hold of it. He wasn't slow. He can get in behind. And he scores goals. And he creates.
Yeah, I tend to think
wrong person to choose there for Dennis Bergkamp.
I think he would have been a great like number 10, wouldn't he? Like now, if you look at that role in like the 4-2-3-1, like he would have just slotted in lovely.
He could play either. He could play.
I get the kind of point he's trying to he's getting at. Like there's so much focus on.
Well, I understand. I understand what I mean by that. Not footballers. They're not them Ronaldinho's, them Wayne Rooney's, them street kids, them ballers. Because they're all fucking athletes now, like you said, they're all Biafrans. They're all can run, but not really good skill wise. Pretty basic, like Michael Owen said. To be honest, there's no just as long as you pass A to B and you can run 12, 13 kilometers a game, then happy days. But yeah, sometimes it's got to come within as well. Like Gio Sancho's got everything like you'd want in a winger, but he hasn't got that. He hasn't got that heart. He hasn't got that ability
mentality, to mate.
And have some balls and think, okay, if it doesn't happen, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going. He just doesn't have that. And you've got to have that as a winger at Manchester United. He doesn't.
Well, the example I always use, mate, right, is when Cristiano Ronaldo made his United debut, the first couple of games, that first season probably where he was coming off the bench, he got the absolute 10 bells kicked out of him by all sorts of players, like Ben Thatcher and all these types of fullbacks and that. And all he did is he kept getting up, give me the ball. And he just kept going and going and going. And then the next summer, after that summer, he came back and all of a sudden he'd grown into his body a bit. He was jacked as fuck and the rest is history. But that's mentality, mate, right? I see so many footballers recently where I've been watching different games, different levels, watching United, watching Cardiff on Wednesday. Like so many of these professional footballers hide in from the ball when things get tough. They don't want the football. They don't want to take responsibility and try something and be brave. And like, if you try something and it doesn't come off, that's all right. Like, you know, you tried something, like, but keep being brave and keep wanting it. And too many is I don't know whether it's because it's all become a bit stat based or whether it's just the way the game's gone in terms of you know, I think a big part of it was Mourinho's success when he came in. He kind of changed what footballers were in terms of how, like, he had these massive 6'2" athletes, didn't he? And if you look at Man City side now, right, they are all massive. They're all athletes, apart from Bernardo Silva. Who else? Can't even think of any of the others. Like, they're all big athletes. But you look at City now, whenever Rodri's out with that side, they've lost or drawn games every time he's out because he's so important to what they do. Would be technically good, does simple stuff, does the donkey work, but is also good on the ball. As soon as he's out of their side, they haven't got a suitable replacement. He makes that much of a difference. And then you've got, say, United are trying to play Amrabat or Casemiro in that single pivot role, and they haven't got it in them. They just haven't got it in them, whether it's their age, the legs. And I just think, like, I missed, I don't know, maybe it's that, what's the word? Like when you look back on things and you always think it was better in the time you grew up. Like,
well, we talk about all the time at work. It's a lot better footballers, a lot better. The game's boring.
Yeah. Like, I look at the 90s, right? Because, and I'll say, like, to me, 90s, best music, best clothes, best football. And I look at it, and my missus will say to me, yeah, but that's because you grew up, like, you were like a teenager and a 20-year-old in the 90s. So, like, that was, like, your era. So that's why you look back on it so fondly. But I'm like, well, no, it's because the music was fucking awesome. The clothes were awesome. And the football was awesome. I agree with you, mate. Football now is boring a lot of the time. It's like, I'm watching Championship football, which used to be like just gung-ho teams, just like going at each other. Anyone could beat anyone. And they're both like two shite teams playing, trying to play like Man City, playing out from the back, passing along the six-yard box. And I get it. Like, that's the way football's gone. And managers, like, I'm not against playing football, but like, you've got to play with what your players are capable of doing. And some, let's say, their Championship and League One are not quite at that standard, are they, to play pep ball?
No, but this is when a lot of the non-league clubs are getting more attendances because people want to see, you know, real football.
Yeah.
And tackling is involved in that.
Yes.
People getting stuck in and things that, you know, people don't dive in and all that crap that goes with it. But, yeah, well, mate, don't get me wrong. We still enjoy it, but it's so boring.
You're falling asleep like watching a Champions League game or something.
Especially watching United.
Oh, God, yeah. But then you look at how excited people get when Wan-Bissaka made that tackle on Zaha a couple of years ago when he's miles behind him and Zaha's through and he excuse me, nice little sneeze. People want to see tackles, don't they? People want to see like that commitment and the passion and winning the ball back and 50-50s, and it's getting more and more taken out of the game all the time. Like I am James says there now, right? He says, I'm sick of seeing wingers instead of taking the fullback on, they stop, pass the ball back to the fullback, and then they go into their own half and they go back to the keeper. It's just mind-numbing. Whereas before, if you were a winger, like your brother would say, if he had the fullback isolated and he had the ball and he had space, he'd be going at him. Beat the man, put the cross in. Beat the man, have a shot, whatever it may be. And it's just, like, you mentioned Jadon Sancho, mate, a minute, right? I cannot fathom what is going through his head, mate, for him to have done what he's done this season. Because I look at the way United want to play and I look at the way Hoyland needs to have around him, players he needs to have around him, and it is set up perfectly for Jadon Sancho. And he's sat at home playing on the Xbox because he threw his toys out the pram because the manager said he wasn't working hard enough. And it's like, I cannot fathom that, mate. Like, it's such a short career. Mentality, mate, like you alluded to a minute ago. It's not there.
Some of these young players are in a lot of money.
Yeah, well, mate. What's he on? 350 before sponsors and stuff?
He's on over £1 million in a month, so we're doing a lot of money.
Outrageous, isn't it? Outrageous, mate. Wayne Rooney picked up a win last night.
Did you get the message?
I did, yeah. I turned it off and deleted it straight away. Abusive. Mentally abusive.
Always enjoyed that song.
Yeah, I bet. What's your best moment watching him as a player then?
Rooney?
Yeah, because I don't want to talk about that Cardiff game. I just spent an hour talking about it.
Best
moment watching Rooney as a fan.
There was so many with Wayne Rooney because he just gives you everything. So there was so many.
He was the last of the good, like the rough and
the last of the street ballers, yeah.
Yeah, the fucking slamming into people. Like the amount of times him and Scholes or him would just like smash into players because they'd lost the ball.
You remember, you've seen the clip of the ball there, the skinhead Wayne Rooney when the referee drops the ball. And
he goes
straight through one and then straight through another straight away. The ref gives a whistle, you just turn around and
go, fuck. Do you know what? Like, so James has said in the chat there, like the overhead kick straight away. And I understand that, especially for United fans, like the, you know, it's Man City, it's the last couple of minutes, whatever. It's an overhead kick. It's an amazing goal, of course. But to me, the one which typifies him is the volley versus Newcastle, where he's arguing with the ref and he's like so angry, the ball just drops and he just whacks it top bins. And like that to me just empowered, like etched and encapsulates everything about him as a player. Like, and like he's my boy's 15 and now in February, right? He hasn't seen a lot of Rooney play live, probably caught a couple of games towards the end of his career when he was little or something. But it's his favourite player because when he watches clips of him, he's like, that's how I play. That's how I want to play. That's how I try to play. Like, he's aggressive and he's skillful and whatever. And like,
he was chaffed me
to go and watch it yesterday. That's what I was saying to my boy last night. Like, he wasn't just good and aggressive and work hard. Like, he was all about the team. Like, he used to play on the left, on the right, in midfield. Like, he would have played anywhere if it was to help the team.
Yeah, he was a top proper team player, but with quality. And sacrificed his position to play over where on the left, where he wasn't great, but still give you 7 or 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
But always give you 10 out of 10 work rate. He was brilliant. Brilliant.
Yeah, I think he's the best English player of all time, I do, without a doubt. And I know it's subjective and people will disagree, but for me, he is.
It's a bold statement, isn't it? It's a bold statement. I think that there's probably there's three players. Well, yeah.
I know, three. Like Bobby
Moore. You've got a Bobby Charlton in there. No, he's got all them goals from midfield, won the World Cup.
I agree. Bobby Moore. I wouldn't have Shearer up there.
I wouldn't have Shearer.
On ability,
I wouldn't have Steven Gerrard either.
Don't get me started on him now. That's bait, that is. I know what that is. You're trying to bait me into it.
No, I wouldn't. Not for England. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Not up there.
Gerrard's overrated, mate. Overrated.
But yeah, he's in the conversation, obviously. And you got to stick Harry Kane in there as well.
Yeah, Jay Boothroyd, absolutely top of the lot. Best English striker to ever play the game. Reece says, not a fan of United. However, or anyone that he did play for, but he said that if you watch the DC United game where it's like the 90th minute and he tackles... tackles someone last man and then whips the ball from the halfway line into the box. It's like pinpoint accuracy in it from the halfway line. Like he's last man, wins it, pings it, and they win the game. Like that is just special.
On his debut for the Champions League, he scored that trick.
Mental, that is. I watched that. I remember because I remember like
I think I was there.
He was, I'm trying to think, I think he's a year or two younger than me. But like, he's certainly, like, he was young when I, you know, he was like a teen, I think, yeah, he's, so like, anyway, he was young, like, so I was interested in watching this 16, 17 year old. How old were you when he went to United? 17, wasn't he?
18, mate. 2003. So he's 38. How old are you? 2003. So he's 38. 1985 he was born. Yes, 2003. What would he have been then? So he was 17. He made his debut for Everton at 17.
So there you go. Oh, actually 5 days before his 17th birthday. So he would have been 18 when he went to United. But like, yeah, an 18-year-old, not just, it wasn't just the fact he scored a hat-trick, like he could have got, you know, some rebounds and tap-ins. They were just such outrageous goals, like free kick, curl one from the edge of the box.
You couldn't have asked, this is what I'm talking about, Rasmus Højlund, you couldn't have asked for a better team to go into. You've got fucking total, you're always going to get chances, always. You make the right runs, they will find you.
And this is the thing with Højlund, is he makes a lot of the right runs, but they haven't got the winners or the players.
If you've got players to see that, then you're going to get a lot of chances. And that's what Wayne Rooney got. Just feed him. And that's why he scored a lot of goals. If you haven't got that and you're young and you don't get a good start, yeah, it's going to be a struggle. Big price tag.
What's the greatest goal you've ever seen in person? Not like feel good moment, but I mean, like quality goal.
Oh, it's got to be. I think our kids is up there with that semi final goal to be
the
there.
What is it?
To be there for that game. It was probably the greatest game I've been to. And I've been at a lot of games, good games. I was at the Juventus game away.
You were on the pitch as well, weren't you?
Semi final, 2-0 down. Semi-final Juventus at the Della Alpe, they score two early goals. You think, you know, Edvard Davids, Zidane, Del Piero, Buffon, all these top players in the 2-0 down, and that's it. And you end up winning it 3-2 and then going through to the final. That was a good game, but
you were on the pitch, weren't you, when your brother scored against Arsenal?
Yeah, after the game. I'm on the treble video if you see it. Yeah, probably that one, you know, but some good goals. Ronaldo, original Ronaldo, some of his goals he scored at Old Trafford when he played for Real Madrid. Fabio Barthez should have saved at least two of them.
Yeah. There was that one where he does like a step over and he just smashes it.
There's so many, man. I can't think off the top of my head. There's so many. Just to think of just one. But that one sticks out because of the atmosphere, the occasion. We're down to 10 men. That team, that rivalry, yeah. And to go on and win it with that, so yeah, probably that one.
So that's your best quality goal you've seen. What about
field live? There's probably more, but that one sticks to mind because, like I say, but. There's obviously been more because I've watched over flipping 500 flipping United games live. So,
what about the best feeling watching United, like from a goal point of view? Winning goal?
Barcelona, Solskjaer, that second goal.
Oh, mate.
I'm still on the floor. Like, we've got a corner, so I'm trying to get up. From celebrating, as I'm getting up, he takes the corner, he scores again, and it's just fucking mayhem. Absolute mayhem. It was a 95,000-seater stadium. I can guarantee there's over 120,000 people in that stadium that night. There was so many.
There's all those fake, those moody tickets going around, weren't there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When they just waved people in.
The Champions League final, in the last minute, after just scoring 30 seconds before, yeah, it's unbelievable.
Breathtaking. I watched that right in my local pub with a load of United fans. I'm not a United fan, like I've said before, but I do follow them because my old man used to watch him with my old man before he died. So
why are you telling people you're the same age as Wayne Rooney? You're not the same age as Wayne Rooney.
I know. I'm 2 years old, 3 years older than him.
What are you now? 48?
Fuck off, man. I'm younger than you, you cheeky bastard. I'm 41. Just turned 41 as well. Young man. Could still be playing if I wasn't for my bad back.
In the pub at 99. Wayne Rooney was still at school at 12 years of age in 99.
Yeah. No, we watched it in the pub with a load of United fans. Like, and even that, like, it was so difficult not to get caught up in the moment, like, you know, because it was just one of the most incredible things that I had ever seen, like, on a football pitch. Because
the same Liverpool game when they were 3-0 down, even though they didn't go on to win it, but they went to win it on penalties.
Yeah.
Still, like, against that team, like AC Milan team, that was a good team, that.
Yeah, so, it's just unbelievable. Just you know, you're witnessing something special.
Yeah, these were good teams we were playing against. We were playing against an Inter Milan side with Ronaldo, a very good team in Milan. That was difficult, got through that. And that Juventus side were the team.
Here's a question, right? If you take the 99 seat European campaign out of the conversation, what about best comebacks watching like live at stadium? Sheffield Wednesday, were you there for the Bruce double?
Yeah, I was there for that. But no, I would say the Tottenham one where we 3-0 down.
Oh, and won 5-3 or something.
Yeah, that one.
That was mental, that was. I was, like, I can't remember where. I was, like, somewhere, like, Bath or something. And, like,
actually, it feels like I was there. But when I think about it, I actually know where I was when that happened because it was in 2001. So I couldn't have been there because I was in prison. So,
yeah.
I remember listening to it. So obviously that wasn't there, but I've got a memory of it. But I remember I clearly wasn't there because it was 2001. So whatever. That Sheffield Wednesday one was good. Probably that Juventus one. Mate, there's so many United comebacks and so many. And I mean, you're not talking like one or two. I'm talking like about 20
over the last. Yeah, like, it was like just almost every other week.
There was a game against early on. I think it was 1993 against South. Might have been 1992 actually, but against Southampton side with Alan Shearer and Matt Letizia side in 1992-93. And United were 1-0 down, and Akin scored two late goals to win 2-1. Mm. I remember that because that was one of his first times, and he scored two goals, and he was still starting his career. So I remember that one. But there were so many.
I tell you what, one of my favourite ones was following Cardiff. Even though that season I only went to like three games because of the rebrand and stuff. Was Man City when we beat Man City at the Cardiff City Stadium the first time we went up to the Premier League? That was absolutely insane. Gunnarsson, like scoring, and it was 3-2. I think it was 3-2 to Cardiff. It was just like absolutely crazy. But also the Carling Cup final when Ben Turner scores right at the end against Liverpool in extra time. Oh my days, mate! That was just like. Because the thing is, that period following Cardiff was it was so strange because I never, ever thought I'd see Cardiff City in an FA Cup final, ever. And then, well, obviously, in it, but like, I never thought it was going to happen. So then to see him and then literally like not long later, a couple of years later, then see him in the Carling Cup final against Liverpool, you know, you go into that Liverpool game thinking you're going to get spanked. Because it's big Premier League team and that. And then to draw, because we went into the lead, Joe Mason scored early and then Liverpool sort of come back into it. And then right at the death, Ben Turner scored a tap-in. At the end I was at, so I was like at this perfect view of it. I nearly got kicked out at that point. But then Anthony Gerrard bottled it at the penalties and Liverpool went on to win. Dug his cousin out of jail. But yeah, football's a beautiful thing, mate. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Just double right. Super Six there now. Sorry. Go on.
Yeah. Come on then. Super Six predictions to finish off. Just while I quickly load up my Super Six predictions. Guys, obviously tomorrow night, if you come to the Michael Chopper evening, which I hope you are, come along, come say hello. Oh, mate, little plug for tomorrow. Michael Chopra scored a 92nd minute winner versus Swansea City. And you can get signed prints for that as well, by the way. But there's also a raffle with loads of Cardiff and Wales merch and gifts and prizes. It's raising money for charity. The charity is Chopra's charity, which is Football for Peace, £5 a strip. But you can also get them online as well. If you contact me and I'll sort it out for you, but you can get involved. And there's also still some tickets left if you want to come along. Rum and Tavern in Cardiff. An evening with Michael Chopra. It's going to be a cracking night, so make sure you come and join us. But until before that, let's do the Super Six predictions to finish off the show.
3-1, City.
3-1, City. I will go with, have I done mine already? No, I haven't. I'm going to go with 2-0 City, because Rodri might be out. So, is Rodri out? Anyone know? Someone tell me if Rodri's out tomorrow. Because that might mean I'll go for a Palace win. Chelsea, Sheffield United, mate. What you got? I'll let you go first, because you copy me otherwise.
No, I've got 2-0, so I give you the wrong one.
Ah, yeah. Come on. Yeah, it's two blurs, because you've got that blurry background.
I've got 2-0. I tried to give you a different one to throw you off, but then you picked the one I picked. So 2-0, 3-1 Chelsea United.
I'm going 1-1 in that one.
Newcastle 2-0 Fulham.
I'm going 2-1 Fulham.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Fulham being on fire, mate.
1-3 Everton. I'm fighting it, Everton.
Oh, Everton, yeah. 3-0 Everton.
2-2,
West Ham
Wolves.
I'm going to go 1-0, I think, to Wolves. No, 1-0 West Ham.
Okay. And 4-1, the last one, home win.
And who's playing in that game, mate?
Merseyside versus Newton Heath.
yeah, I'm going to go 16-0. To Liverpool. No, I think it'll be 4-2.
Just copying mine now, just adding one.
What did you say?
Four one.
There's not copying you, man, is there? Yes, there you go. There's the predictions for the week. Nicely done. You can still join up Super Six Prediction Leagues if you want to as well.
Get involved. £750,000 if you hit right. It's a rollover. £1 million.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Just before Christmas. Nice little treat.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Who knows, mate? This time next week, Graham Potter could be the new Manchester United manager. There you go. It's something for you to think about. The massive UFC this weekend. Let's talk about that to finish off. Go on. Ian Gary's out, isn't he?
Yeah. Paddy's a bad day. Easy win.
Easy.
Ferguson's on his way out. Leon Edwards will be a difficult, might probably go all the way, but
I think that could go either way, mate. I do,
yeah, it could go either way, but I still fancy Leon Edwards. But yeah, it won't be easy. He's no joke, Colby Covington. He's got proper edge on him. So if he can stop the wrestling, I think he can beat him. But he's a good wrestler, Colby Covington. So Leon Edwards, I'm sure he's prepared properly.
If you can stop
Kamaru Usman taking him down, you can stop Colby Covington taking him down.
Yeah, I think people underestimate Colby Covington because he's a bit of a prick and he rubs people up the wrong way. Like, I think
he's no joke.
Paddy the Baddy, I agree. I think Paddy will beat Tony Ferguson quite easily. Handily, I think. No, just because
Well, he has been durable, but he's getting on now, isn't he?
Yeah, his chin's not as strong as he used to be.
He hasn't got that snap.
But you never know, because he used to train on his own, didn't he? And now he's got a team about him again, and you just never know. Another good fight, mate, on Saturday is Josh Emmett versus Bryce Mitchell. I like Bryce Mitchell.
A little meathead in, isn't it? A little meathead, bald head, ginger, yeah.
And Bryce Mitchell's that mad grappler.
Bryce Mitchell's the hunter.
Yeah. Something like that, yeah. Yeah. Kobe Garbrandt versus Brian Keller as well. That'd be
this card's stats. It's fully loaded. This card.
What's on the prelims? Cody Durden, Randy Brown. There's loads of people fighting.
Yeah,
I got it for Ian Garry, mate, because I think that he had a bit of hype behind him where you had all that social media nonsense and.
Mm.
I think people were looking forward to him having a really competitive fight, but he's got pneumonia. Not much you can do about that, mate, really, is there? McGregor will be back soon, mate, as well. Like we said last week. Right. Nice one, mate. Appreciate you as always.
Cheers, pal.
And I'll probably speak to you Saturday anyway when I'm watching UFC, you know.
Yeah.
Is it on a normal time or is it on at like 3 a.m.?
It's Vegas, isn't it? So.
Yeah, mate. I won't watch the prelims. I'll just get it.
I'll just stay up as long as I can and just
watch it fall asleep in front of the sofa.
Yeah.
All right, mate. I'll drop you a text on Saturday anyway, but I'm sure I'll speak to you tomorrow, mate. I might not actually. I've got loads to do.
Sports Social Podcast Network.